Romans 12, verse 3, and then 9 to 16. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ. And every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace which is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another, with brotherly love, in honour preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. And there we will end. Lord, I just thank you for Kev. Lord, we thank you for his willingness to speak of you, to share you, and make your name known. So, Lord, we just pray as he speaks to us now, that you give him the words, the fluency, and all that he needs. We pray in Jesus' name.
Morning, everyone. Good to be able to be here again. It's always a great treasure of mine to be able to share the message of God's word in the church. Although I haven't been confined to that area over the years, we did 6 years or more so open air campaign ministry as far as Mitchell. We worked at Condamine, we worked at Jackson, all those places along there, my wife and I and many others. So it's with a joy that I come again this morning to share with you the message that God has laid upon my heart, and you're here because he wants you here this morning to hear what I've got to share with you. And I believe that it's going to be a challenge to you, as it's always a challenge to me. When I preach a message, I point the finger at me as well as you. I give you a chance to make a decision in your life what you're going to do with the message that I bring. So I'm going to start reading from here, from Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 down to verse 20. That first reading that we read there in Romans chapter 12 is my favourite, of course. I've been writing on Romans chapter 12 now for nearly 18 months. And I've got somewhere near about 1,800 double sermons on Romans chapter 12. I'm aiming for 2,000. And if he leaves me here long enough for Christmas time, I trust that I'll be able to do it. I'm looking to the Lord for all that and that opportunity to be able to do it. Will I ever get it printed? I don't know. I'm just doing what I'm told to do while I'm here, as long as I'm here. So I want to give you the second reading now, and it'll fit in, it'll chime in with what we first read in Romans chapter 12. Here in Matthew 16, from verse 13 down. Now when Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He says unto them, but whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There we see one of the most outstanding questions that Jesus ever asked anybody on the earth. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? I'm going to ask you the same question. If someone asked you who Jesus was and what he was to you, what would you say? We're coming into Easter time. That's one of the most prominent times of the Christian worship times of the year. Christmas opened the door, didn't it? We've just gone there. It just seemed yesterday. No, it doesn't. Time just seems to be racing. But Christmas opens the door to Easter, to the most prominent aspect of the Christian life, the heart of which we know is the resurrection. Without any resurrection, we're not here this morning. I'll touch a little bit on that again later on. But here I want to ask you the question, what would you say to someone if they asked you about Jesus Christ? Who was he? What was he about? No doubt, you have scrambled for words to say. I'd say 90% of you would be like the disciples. They weren't really sure who it was that was talking on. They said, oh, maybe Jeremiah or somebody like that. But Peter was there. One of the most prominent things that Peter ever said in his life. I used to call him Preposterous Pete. I call him also Impetuous Pete. But turned out to be a mighty man of God. The Gospels wrote his own books like Paul writing his. To enhance us with the Word of God. And here it says here, Jesus said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Notice he says, what he's talking about there, my Father which is in heaven. And the words he's talking about also, who does he say the Son of Man is? When I read the Gospels, where that is used, as he calls himself the Son of Man, he uses it at least 80 times. As the Son of God, I lost count. So we see his promise, but then we go to John chapter 1 and verse 1, and it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was with God from the beginning. So we need to know the Word of God to know and understand who the Word is. So that when someone asks us about who he is, what's he like, we should be able to, straight from the cuff, be able to say, it's the only way to God, as we heard here this morning. It's the only way to heaven. Over Acts 4 and 12, it says there again, Luke the Apostle says, that there's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Hallelujah. That's why I'm here this morning. When up till the age of 24, you wouldn't want to know me. Oh, you hurt me, I'd become your worst nightmare. But now I trust you, I'd be one of your best friends. Because I want to share the truth with you this morning, because there's a lot of emphasis there in those words there. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, and Jesus saying, thou art Peter. I want to read something to you. There in the Greek is a play upon words. There are Peter, meaning Petros, literally a little rock. And upon this rock, Petra, I will build my church. He does not promise to build his church upon Peter, but upon himself. As Peter himself carefully tells us over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to 9. I'm not going there, you can go there. The amazing thing, he asks the question, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's talking about deity. He was far deity before he ever became the Son of Man. He had to become the Son of Man to reveal deity. And so, not only to reveal deity, but he had to become the Son of Man to reveal himself to us. And that's why we're here this morning. We're here knowing him as our own personal Lord and Saviour. If you don't know him as Lord, you don't really know him at all. You think you do, but you don't. Why do I say that? Oh, no, I'm being a bit wild, don't I? Sound a bit wild, but I meant to be bad. But I do know this much over in Romans chapter 10. It says there in verse 8, the word is in thee, even in your mouth. For if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart man is made for righteousness. You guys read it there this morning, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. He becomes sin for us who was there, had no sin, but was made a sin, that you and I could become the righteousness of God in him. And so, here we are, we've come to this place where we can understand something more about who Jesus really is. Because when we read the story here of his question, it makes us dig deep to really know what we do know about him. If I was to ask you to ask each one of the question personally, I wonder what you'd say to me. Oh, make my day, I'll tell you. Oh, somebody else might give me a break. But there's no room for excuses. We're living in the day where we're going to have to know who Jesus really is as the Word of God, capital W. We're going to have to know him for who he is. We can't have just a head knowledge. Even knowing the Word of God is not enough. We've got to be able to know how to give it out, like I'm sharing with you this morning. From the night I got saved, way back in 1958, I was told to go and tell someone. Oh, I said, they laughed their head off at me. Drunk around the town, drunk. Who's going to listen to drunks? Yeah, he said, they won't all laugh. The more I told, the more bolder I got. But then he nearly broke my heart altogether. He said, you need to start coming to church. That nearly broke my heart. Go to church. Oh, I laughed my head off of it. I said, go to church. Where do you go to church? And I laughed at him, laughing. He's drunk, floppy. Go to church. Why? No, you're not getting me in that place. Not there. Oh, no, I don't die there. He said, why? I said, too many hypocrites in the church. Yeah, but he said, you don't have to be one. He took me out of the first mail. That's why I'm here today. For 12 months, I learned to do everything by standing on my head for Jesus, and I'm still doing it. That's why I'm here this morning. And I want you to realize that what he said there in what we read there in Romans chapter 12. Verse 3, we need to take that to heart. We don't have to seek for too big a nut to understand what he's all about. We want to get that out of our heads. We don't want to get the idea that we do know everything about him either, because none of us do. I don't. I'm still learning. I'm in a few more weeks and I'll be 90 and I'm still learning. still learn. I want to learn. I've got a desire to learn. Long to learn. And so this is why when we read that passage in Romans chapter 12, which you've read here many times before, a lot of like a rattling off like a parrot by heart. It's all about practicing the presence of God. But we've got to know Him. We've got to really know Him to be able to practice the presence of God. When you read that chapter, go home and read it 15 times. Read it this week, 15 times. Get into your spirit. It's all about church life. What we're doing this morning. Every bit of it, right through to the end of chapter 16 of Romans, all church life. And the more we read, the more we're going to understand who He really was, who He really is. The most important thing, I think, was what we celebrated here this morning, the passion that He had, the hymns that we've sung, the passion. There's another hymn you're going to sing in one of my choices after this sermon. I know a fountain filled with blood, drawn from his veins. Sinners' blood beneath that flood leaves all their guilty stains. What are the guilty stains? The guilty stains, every one of us have had them. Some of us have still got them. And the way you find out what they are, you go to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5, where Paul says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pull down strongholds. Where the guilty stains are, that's a lot I had, it's all gone. God took them away from me. He still searches the heart. He's searching your heart now. Right now, He's in your mind. He's in your heart. He's searching. Is there any guilty stains? I trust not. But sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. And that's what it's all about. I apply the blood of Jesus over my heart and mind every morning before I go and every night before I go to sleep. It's so important that we do that. Practicing the presence of God so that when someone says, do you really know who Jesus is? I say, well, I don't know everything about Him, but all I know is that I'm saved and I know He's the only one who can do it. I work at a coffee shop and many times they surprise me, the amount of Christians that ask me questions about Jesus. They claim to know Him, and is there anything wrong with that? No, there's not. There's nothing wrong with it at all. It's just why I'm there. That's why I go. I go because I want to share Jesus with the people in the town. And so this morning, we need to be able to look at this passage here, because the greatest statement that Jesus is going to make here before He goes to the cross, it says there, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. I'm going to build my church. Where does it start? It starts in Genesis 3:15 about the prophecy concerning Him, the seed of the woman. Over in John 3:16, He says, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, and have everlasting life. Then He goes over in chapter 12 and verse 24. He says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. If he dies, he bears much fruit. And then over in John chapter 1:29, He says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Revelation chapter 5, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. Hallelujah. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. The greatest statement that ever Jesus made before He went to the cross, I've got to build my church, and the gates of all I prevail against them. Brother and sister, what we're hearing is going on around the world. You'll say, is there anybody hope for anybody? Of course there is, because There's revival going on around the world and a lot of us don't even know about it. What's it say? The word says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord's going to raise up a stand against him. Nothing's going to prevent him from building his church. Whether you or I know enough about him or not, he's going to build his church. And the gates of hell won't prevail against him. They won't prevail. They can't prevail because they're dealing with someone who's impeccable and can never sin. He'll never sin. And that's what makes him the only way, the truth, the life that we heard again this morning. He said, I am. How many times did you hear him saying the I am in the Bible? Oh, about 50. Somewhere around there. I'm not quite sure, but I'm somewhere about that. I am. One of the most prominent ones, of course, is in John chapter, where is it? Chapter 11, verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Do you believe it? I asked you, do you believe that? Have you ever received it to believe it, to accept him as he accepts you? What had happened, did you? What happened when you responded to him? Can you look back on it? I can. I cried my eyes out. I cried my eyes out. And the pastor said, he loves you. I said, how could he ever love a mongrel like me? He said, he loves mongrels. I don't like to respond. How could he ever love a mongrel like me? Loved mongrels. And then the challenge has come, though. The challenge has come in the same chapter here in Matthew 16, where he read, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. That's the cross life. That's compassion. We need the passion of Christ like Paul in Philippians 3, verse, where is it? 10 down to 4. I want to know him. Fellowship of his suffering. I want to know him. I want to know him. He'd known if he is, but I want to know more. And what I read into that is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Blessed are they that hunger thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after Christ's likeness, they shall be made like him. And that's what I want to be. Do you want to be that way? Do you want to live the way Christ lived? We sung it here this morning. No, we can't do that. We couldn't die for ourselves. He died for us so that now we can say, by accepting him, be justified by faith. We could say, I reckon myself indeed to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto Christ. I'm crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I'm building what I've shared with you here this morning. I'm not going on. I don't like long prayers. Long sermons. Because by the time you hear three sermons in one, you don't know which one you're supposed to hear. This is why I've stayed. If someone was to ask you, who do you think you know that the Son of Man is? What would you tell them? Let's bow our head in prayer and then we'll ask for the worship team to come and sing the final hymn. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace that is sufficient for us all, for your mercy that brings us goodness, love, grace, And Lord, as we sit and as we stand in your presence, we ask you to help us to be able to share with those who know you not who you really are. By life and by life, that the anointing of your Spirit be upon us and in us and through us to touch the lives of those who are going to a Christless eternity, some of our own loved ones, families perhaps. And I pray, Father, that you give us that passion that you had for souls, and that we'll be ever ready, Father, to share the message of the truth of the gospel of Christ as God for the sin of the world, and his coming again to take home those who know him and love him. So as we go and we leave this place, I pray a blessing upon each one that's come here this morning in Jesus' lovely name. Let's